following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.906 She should have a state number, too, but I just don't see that one there right now. Talking about U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, we will be giving out her phone number later this hour. Stick around, and you'll see why as the topic I start with here unfolds. That topic would be Obamacare. Of course, HHS Secretary Sebelius right now before a House committee getting grilled. It didn't take long for things to turn pretty testy. In fact, you know what? Let's just listen to Kathleen Sebelius here and the questions she's getting for just a couple of minutes, Jason. Go ahead.
August, identifying some problems, and between August and October, that became the punch list for CGI to fix those problems. That's why you test.
Now, in the Washington Post on October 21st, there was an article that said about a month before the exchange opened, a testing group of 10 insurers urged agency officials not to launch the site because it was riddled with problems. Were you aware in September that insurers recommended a delay in the launch of the exchange?
I was not aware that they recommended delay. I know everyone was concerned that there were risks and there were likely to be problems with the brand new integrated insurance system. I don't think anyone ever estimated the degree to which we've had problems in the system, and certainly the contracting partners did not.
And did HHS respond to the insurer's recommendation to delay the launch?
Sir, I can't. I wasn't in the meeting. I don't know what occurred at the meeting, and I don't know who they talked to.
Answer that question for us.
Sure. I will get back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I love that answer. I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Secretary, thank you for taking time to be here today. I represent parts of East and North Houston, Harris County, and our district has one of the highest uninsured rates in the country. Even worse, we have one of the highest rates of people who have jobs but don't receive their insurance through their employer. It's for this reason that I believe Houston would be a good place for you to come. It's been spread the word about the tremendous benefits of the Affordable Care Act.
However, it's a Democrat.
We learned your office that you're unable to attend because of scheduling conflicts, and hopefully we can have an agreement that sometime in the future you'll come to the fourth largest city that probably has the highest number of uninsured in a metropolitan area. And, of course, we're in the state of Texas that has the number of highest uninsured in the country. It's important to me and our constituents to get it right, and that's why I share you're in the president's disappointment the website's not working as planned. November 30th is not soon enough. Many of my constituents have been waiting for years to be able to purchase health insurance, and we owe it to them to get the marketplaces up and running. The contractors have not served our country well and should fix it or not be paid. Now we're hearing about the cancellation letters being sent by insurance companies to their customers, notifying them that their plans are no longer offered. Are these Americans losing their health care coverage because of the Affordable Care Act, or is it because these plans were changed after the enactment of the Act?
You can listen carefully to this.
I would say
crap.
It's the latter, sir. If a plan was in place since the enactment of the Act, no one would have received a cancellation.
So if somebody in America had an insurance plan before the Act, and that the president was correct. If you have
he wasn't.
If you like what you have, you could keep it.
Yes,
the
sir.
Plans were changed, and so now they have to comply with the new law.
They could either choose to be grandfathered and keep the same plan, which meant the same benefits, and actually the regulation allows insurance companies to charge medical inflation plus a trend line, so they didn't have to charge the same price. They could increase it. They could increase copays. They could increase coinsurance. What they couldn't do is cancel benefits that the policyholder relied on. They couldn't disadvantage the policyholder. But if that plan is in effect, absolutely, it is still in effect.
Okay. But some of these millions of letters we're hearing about are probably because their plans changed.
Well, absolutely. And again, in the individual market, plans change every year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's true, even in the
product.
Small business market, that happens. So these plans are not allowed now because they're completely inadequate, and they don't offer the minimum essential benefits.
Completely inadequate.
That is correct.
Okay. No, it
and
isn't.
I've been a state legislator, and I know as governor, in Kansas, I assume every state has some type of minimum mandated benefits that they have for their health insurance plans.
They do, but it applies again, sir, in the past, usually to the group markets where 90% of covered Americans get their policies. This market has always been the Wild West.
Okay. The Americans receive those letters from their companies about cancellations. They're eligible to purchase plans on the exchange.
Or out of the exchange. Individuals who don't aren't
at a much
interested
higher
in some
rate.
Kind of financial help can go outside the exchange, inside the exchange. Their insurer can offer them plans. They have choices they've never had before.
And because of the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, 80% of their premium dollar will come back to them.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And that's not true, and I know it's not true in Texas, but I don't know what any states that have that 80% requirement.
Well, no state had it, I would suggest, in that kind of broad base prior to the Affordable Care Act. So it's
let me give you an example of one of the plans.
All right, that's
I
enough. That's enough.
Casework.
All right, so a Democrat is giving her some love right now. Okay, let me tell you, right, that's not the number we want. We don't want her press secretary. That's not the number we want. Jason, we want the number that constituents would call. What you just heard is a complete load of malarkey. A complete load. The president did not tell the truth. They have known from the beginning that minor changes in the policy were going to disallow it from being grandfathered. In fact, let me share with you Review and Outlook, the Obamacare Awakening. Americans are losing their coverage by political design. Today's Wall Street Journal. For all of the Affordable Care Act's technical problems, at least one part is working on schedule. The law is systematically dismantling the individual insurance market as its architects intended from the start. The millions of Americans who are receiving termination notices because their current coverage does not conform to HHS rules may not realize this is by design. Maybe they trusted President Obama's repeated falsehood that people who like their health plans could keep them. As a listener said, no, if he likes your health plan, you can keep it. But Americans should understand that this month's mass cancellation wave has been the president's political goal since 2008. Liberals believe they must destroy the market in order to save it. Until this month, consumers who weren't insured through their jobs were allowed to buy insurance that provides the best value based on their own needs. One of every 10 private policies is sold through the individual market, covering about 7% of the U.S. population under age 65. Some states have ruined this market through regulation and price controls, and in others, costs can be high. But the individual market works well for millions of people who can choose from many plans, from Cadillac coverage to cheaper protection against catastrophic illness. The political problem for the White House is that these choices are a threat to Obamacare. And this is where at least one listener doesn't understand what Ron Johnson is up to. The political problem for the White House is that these choices are a threat to Obamacare. If too many people keep these policies instead of joining the government exchanges, Obamacare could fail. Let me read that again. If too many people keep these policies instead of joining the government exchanges, Obamacare could fail. HHS thus reviewed the decisions of people in the individual market and found them wanting. HHS believes, as a matter of political philosophy, that everyone should have the same kind of insurance, and in the name of equity, it wrote rules dictating the benefits that all plans must cover and how they must be financed, even if it's coverage you don't want from the individual market. In most cases, these mandates are more comprehensive and thus more expensive than the status quo. But the Obamacare refugees aren't merely facing higher costs. The plans they want and are willing to pay for have been intentionally outlawed. Ponder that one again. The plan they want and are willing to pay for have been intentionally outlawed. Liberals claim the new insurance should cost more because it's better, at least as defined by liberal paternalism. But the real reason they want policies to cost more is to drive as many people as possible out of this market and into the subsidized Obamacare exchanges. The exchanges need these customers to finance Obamacare's balance sheet and stabilize its risk pools. On the exchanges, individuals earning more than $46,000 or a family of four above $94,000 doesn't qualify for subsidies and must buy overpriced insurance. If these middle-class Obamacare losers can be forced into the exchanges, they become financiers of the new pay-as-you-go entitlement. This is why what Ron is proposing is so important, and do not confuse it, as one listener did, with a fix for Obamacare. That's not what it is. The political press corps is reporting this as a shocking discovery. And we suppose it is if you believe Mr. Obama's promises. NBC News even reports as a scoop that the White House knew all along that millions would lose their policies. But HHS's trail of purpose has been there for anyone willing to look. The text of the Affordable Care Act said that none of its language shall be construed to require that an individual terminate coverage that existed as of March 23, 2010, or the date the law was enacted. But as early as June 2010, HHS published a regulation reinterpreting this preservation of right to maintain existing coverage to obviate that promise. Even minor policy changes, such as increasing a copay bill by as little as $5 a copay, means that a plan cannot be renewed without rewriting it to obey all of Obamacare's regulations. In HHS's regulatory impact analysis published in the Federal Register, the department estimated that between 40 and 67% would not qualify as a permitted plan. And this was the point: to prevent such policies from being bought and sold as a commodity in commercial transactions. HHS knew that lightly regulated policies might be popular, especially compared to the restricted choices in the exchanges. Next, HHS applied very prescriptive mandates to all plans, including those sold outside the exchanges. The law's 10 very broad categories of statutory benefits, like hospitalization, prescription drugs, or maternity care, were construed so that 80% of current individual plans didn't meet the targets. According to HHS's own analysis, the rule even put floors under cost sharing to prevent consumers from paying out of pocket. The law's very broad categories were construed so that 80% did not meet targets. HHS wrote that the purpose was to offer merely a small number of meaningful choices. Letting people make trade-offs for themselves would have allowed extremely wide variations across plans and the benefits offered, and would not have assured consumers that they have coverage for basic benefits. Forced equity, again, trumped individual choice. Again, a lot of these are benefits most people don't want. Hard to believe, but at the time, liberals complained that this HHS essential benefits rule wasn't restrictive enough. Pediatric services stop being required at age 19, not 21. And what about speech therapy, medical foods, or lactation services? Liberals needn't have worried. Once customers are herded into the exchanges, HHS has the power to further standardize benefits, further limit choices by barring certain insurers from selling through selective contracting, and generally police the insurers to behave like the government franchises they now are. The state-run exchanges in Vermont and District of Columbia have already barred individual coverage outside their exchanges. None of this is an accident. Repeat, none of this is an accident. It is the deliberate result of the liberal demand that everyone have essentially the same coverage, and the government must dictate what that coverage is and how much it costs. Such political control is the central nervous system of the Affordable Care Act, and it is why so many people cannot keep the insurance they like. I am far from finished with this. More in five. It's 9:21.
The Jerry Bader Show.